Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
Welcome in, everyone. This is an episode of Dove Valley Deep Divers. I'm your host, Kenneth Booker, and I'm here with our senior draft analyst, your extremely knowledgeable Eric Trickle. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing all right. I'm recovering from being sick. If you can't tell, I don't know how well, you know, my voice is transferring over through the mic and everything. But, you know, change of weather happens. I get sick this time of year, but this is the worst I've had it in a while. I was knocked on my butt the last few days. Bad head cold, you know, stuffy nose, headache, all that. But I'm doing better. I'm on the mend. Wasn't sure if I would be able to make it tonight, but fortunately I am. And I'm excited. I mean, we get to talk briefly about two games tonight because we have Sunday and then we have Thursday. So I'm excited, and I always enjoy these Friday nights, and I especially enjoy them when we get to talk about two games in one show.
Definitely. It's kind of a surreal experience. From a few weeks ago, we weren't down and out, but we were like, all right, this is going to be building block season. Like, there's no – I just want him to grow. And now we're just like, wow. This is, I know KC keeps winning, but right now, if the season ended today, we'd be in the playoffs. So this an exciting game that's coming up. We have the two top defenses in the NFL playing each other. I know that Bronco fans know that we have a top defense, but I think that San Diego's or Los Angeles' defense has slid under the radar, like their name change. But how do you think this game's going to play out, and what are some things that you're looking for, like some matchups in this game?
So the San Diego Chargers, or you got me saying it, the Los Angeles Chargers defense, I think they should be on fraud alert, personally.
Oh, okay.
When you look at their passing offense, and I actually talk about this in a couple articles, two of them are out. I also have an article that just went live before we went in here talking about how the Broncos have the best cornerback trio in the NFL currently. Dug into a lot of numbers about that, so make sure you guys go check that out. But anyways,
awesome.
The Chargers defense is they are a top 12 unit in most of these advanced statistics that I like to use, an EPA, success rate, stuff like that. But they are heavily boosted, their pass defense especially, by a Bryce Young-led Carolina Panthers team and a Gardner Minshew-led Oakland Raiders team to start the season that still weren't having things clicking. And now Gardner Minshew is benched, thanks to the Broncos, by the way. So yeah. They are propped up by that. And when you separate that, it's mainly just that Carolina pulled that Carolina Panthers game out of it, this defense is like middle of the pack to bottom 12, kind of, when you look at these statistics. So I think they're on fraud alert. They did have a decent game against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't think they're as great as the numbers are making them out to be. I think that they are a fine defense, but the thing is, and listening to the Athletic podcast today, and these guys mentioned it, is we know the Chargers defense can at least play well against bad offenses. And despite, you know, the flashes we've seen, this Broncos offense is a bad defense. So I don't want to sit there and say that this should be a cakewalk for the Broncos offense. It's still going to be tough, but I do think that the Chargers defense is on fraud alert.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to bring that up too, about the Bryce Young and the Gardner Minshew We have a record of getting quarterbacks benched and never to be seen from again almost. What was it? Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew. There was a couple other ones I can, they were in my head. They kind of just spaced out right now. But even though it could be a fraud alert, I mean, our offense could be on a fraud alert. So
yeah.
We need to move the chains. We need to get some rhythm. We can't let Justin Herbert get in any kind of rhythm. I know he's been kind of struggling this year. He was a big play guy who didn't turn the ball over. Now he's starting to turn the ball over a little more now. He only had one interception, but I know that they were saying his decision making's a little more sketchy than it was in the past. So we'll see how this pans out, but I'm excited to see these guys play and roll into the next week as well on Thursday. Oh, David McElrath, good evening, Broncos country. 10-7. Let's go, Bo. Heck yeah. Yeah, I would love to see a 10-7 record. Oh man, that'd be lovely.
That was your prediction before the season
it was.
Started, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm so confused these days. The Broncos. Man. But yeah, let's say hi to a couple people in here. It's Michael Ronquillo. We saw your was it a Funko?
Custom Funko Pop. That is so awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. He said, good evening, Eric and Kenneth, and the Dove Valley, on the Dove Valley Deep Divers. Go, Bo Broncos. Yeah, that's going to be, yeah. That was really cool, though. I'm going to have to do that for my sister. She loves those things.
I did it for my wife for a Christmas present. So thank you for the idea, Michael. I could not think of something special to get her. So thank you for the idea. As soon as I saw it, I went to the website and did it for my wife. So just got to keep that awesome. Quiet so she doesn't hear me.
That's really cool to get personal gifts like that. And who else? We got I kind of scrolled right there. Yeah, Roy Osborne coming in. Hey there, Scott, KB, and Eric. And Scott's not in today. He's got some family stuff. His kid's playing football down
south. Hopefully we'll get him back soon.
Yeah, I love high school football. It was amazing back in the day. It still is. I kind of want to go down south and check out some of those games, like maybe like Texas, because they have like stadiums that are like college stadiums. Roy's looking out for you. Feel better soon, Eric.
I hope so. I mean, I'm on the back end of it, and so hopefully in the next couple of days, I just get completely better. So hopefully, at least I am up and moving. Unlike the last couple of days, it was rough going.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. This is the weekend. You got a little chance to relax. And then last one with our Ernie Mays. Hello, man. Go Broncos country. Only let's beat the Chargers, a.k.a. the Chokers of L.A. Yes, this team is always picked by every pundit to show up and every year and make a splash and go to the playoffs and go deep. AFC championship games, I've heard. Super Bowl favorites, I've heard. They don't even make the playoffs. I don't know how many times you got to miss the playoffs before they kind of just stop picking those guys.
And it's like for years, it was always, okay, coaching, that was an excuse and a very good one. I don't think they carry that excuse now. And then injuries, which they do still carry that excuse. They are dealing with a lot of injuries. But at some point, we're seeing it happen with the Broncos. I mean, we were dealing with injuries so often there for the last few years. We're starting to see a change with it. I don't know the last time the Chargers made a change within, their personal training room and their medical staff and everything like that. Maybe that is something they should look into, as well as just cutting ways with some of the guys that we see on the injury report year in, year out that aren't stars. Like Joey Bosa, he's always on it, but, he's a star in the NFL, so you're not going to cut him. But some of these other guys, maybe they got to start looking in-house for it.
Maybe they should stop stabbing people in the ribs when they're trying to give them pain injections. All right. Oh, okay. Flip McLaughlin coming in. Good evening, Ken and Eric. It's going to be an interesting which team actually establishes a run game. Definitely. I think that will be the difference in the game. Hashtag Buckham. Hashtag MHH for life. Hashtag Go Broncos. Definitely. Run game is it'll establish just somebody who's just in control of the game, controls the offense and defensive line. Because that's where the game is won and lost, is offensive defensive line. If you can win up there, you can win with anybody at quarterback sometimes. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how if Javonte can have another good week, if Jaleel can make somebody look foolish at the 5-yard line again and juke him out to squeeze in for a touchdown, and see if Audric Esime is actually going to get to play. He might be back. So we'll see on that one. And speaking of that, with Audric Esime, we got Damari Mathis should be coming off there. They said he's questionable. Both of them are questionable as of now. You got Josh Reynolds, who's going to be out with a hand injury. Looks like he re-aggravated it. We were saying on that that touchdown grab, he grabbed for it right after that. Alex Pachowski. How do you say it? Palcheski? It's a bummer for him. Finally got his chance to shine, was really shining, playing well at right tackle, and then got injured. We did bring in Cam Fleming, sign him on the practice squad, I think. Oh, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad, I believe.
Okay.
And then with Matt Pert, I believe, is the one that's expected to start at right tackle.
Okay, yeah. And then you got Wanberg's out. So we got Forsythe. Looks like they're going to step in there for him. On the Chargers side, the out people are going to be like Gus Edwards. He's been struggling this year anyway, the old Ravens running back. I really liked him a few years back. Sante Samuel Jr., we know his pops. Did his pops play for us, didn't he? I think he did for like 1 or 2 years in his career, maybe 1 year. And then I'm going to butcher his name. Jasir Taylor is going to be out. He did not practice all week. It's a fibula injury, so a leg injury.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Going back to what you're saying about the run game there, it is interesting because a lot of times when you think of the Chargers with Justin Herbert, you think that they're a high-flying passing offense. Weird stat with them is on passing plays of over 2.5 seconds, their average yards per pass is 3.3.
Wow.
On over 2.5 seconds of play. Under 2.5, it's 5.4. They do well with the quick passing game, not so much with, forcing them to hold the ball longer. And that, to me, is the focus for it. But the run game, going back to that, the run game is where their offense has been the most dangerous overall this year. And yet they rank 26th in EPA per rush this season. The Broncos are at 17th, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Their success rate is also down near the bottom in this, as they have the second lowest rushing EPA on the season at 30.4. The only team worse than them is the Las Vegas Raiders, who have a negative 35.7 rushing EPA.
Jeez.
So the Chargers are struggling to run the ball, and with the way Denver has turned up against the run, I think they have the advantage here. And I think the big reason for that is because the interior offensive line for the Chargers may be the worst in the NFL. Zion Johnson, Bradley Bozeman, and Trey Pipkins at right guard have been absolutely terrible. They all three of them in pass protection, all three of them are the bottom 12 of 100 offensive linemen, tackles, guards, and centers. Out of 100 offensive linemen, all three of them are in the bottom 12 according to Pro Football Focus grade for pass blocking grade. And Zion Johnson has a decent run blocking grade, but he's the only one. One of them is in the bottom 10, and I think the other one is in the bottom 20. So that is just dominating that interior of that Chargers offensive line has to be a focus here. Even though he's not on the injury report, Justin Herbert has been dealing with a high ankle sprain, and you still have to wonder if his mobility is still a bit of a question. So getting that interior pressure can force him to try and be mobile and also play into the strength of the Broncos defense.
That's awesome to hear about their interior line struggling. I would like to see how Zach Allen and Franklin Myers and Malcolm Roach and all those guys on the inside just continuously pressuring and putting those guys on their heels. And then, yeah, Herbert. High ankle sprains are that's the one you just never know. Like last week, we thought, Crosby, he's out. He's not going to play. Comes in and just destroys, which is a very rare thing on a high ankle sprain. It's usually they try it and then they can't go and then they're done for the rest of the day.
I mean, when I talked about this last week a little bit about me dealing with a high ankle sprain, when I went in and got it evaluated, one of the times it happened to me multiple times. What is the type of doctor that is the the type of doctor that deals with, you know, sprains and stuff like that and bones and all that. Orthopedics. Yeah, the orthopedic doctor that I saw when that happened when I was younger told me that there are people that would rather, there are doctors that will sit there and tell you, and he's one of them, that high ankle sprains are worse than just breaking it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is such a risk to play on it, and because it can just cause such lingering damage. So hopefully Max Crosby was okay, but I doubt he fully was. I just think this was a game where he was going to play and they weren't going to tell him no.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert, you know, not being on the injury report, that is good news for him. There's still probably some lingering pain there. And Crosby is not normal. That is 100% true.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a man. That's a guy. There's a couple, two people I'd always want on my team is Chris Jones and Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Those guys are just amazing.
Yeah, you know, on Twitter, I always see this. If you could pick one player from a divisional foe, who would it be? It's always, besides quarterback, of course, it's always a toss-up. Max Crosby or Chris Jones, which one would I prefer? Either one.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to go wrong with either one of them.
Yeah, they're just, those guys are just beasts. No matter what's going on this season, I mean, they're on good, or at least Chris Jones is, but it's like either one of those guys, it doesn't matter if they're on a good team or a bad team. They're still going to get their numbers. Even if they're not even playing with leads, they're still going to get their numbers. They're just a different breed. But one cool thing about this matchup is we got two former Oregon Duck quarterbacks facing each other. Mm-hmm. So we got Herbert and we got Nix. I guess they actually did face each other one.
They did. They did face each other in college once. Yep.
Nix beat him on a game-winning drive. It was like 27-21 on the opening week of the season. So that was pretty neat. Cool thing about Nix is he's the first rookie quarterback to have three consecutive wins. Is that what they were saying? That they were pushing that out, and I was like,
I can't remember exactly what it is. I know it is something, but I think it's the first rookie franchise quarterback, like Denver quarterback with three straight wins. I can't remember for sure. I know it's something to that effect.
Maybe somebody in the chat knows or heard it as well.
There's no way it's all NFL, because I know CJ Stroud had like multiple three-game win streaks last year.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, kind of seemed kind of crazy. What else? Then Khalil Mack's going to be playing. People forget about him, but he has 13 sacks in 13 games against the Broncos.
Yeah. Boosted by a five-sack performance, but still. Hmm? Boosted by that five-sack performance, but
he's still been
really dominant against the Broncos.
They never helped out. Was it Schofield or whatever? They were like, you got it. He's like, he's sacked. He's already got three sacks. What the hell?
Yeah, it was rough. Because in the last six games, I think he only has four sacks, I think is what it is.
Okay.
Oh, last five games he has four sacks.
Okay. Well, and then the Broncos are also, we talk about their pass rush. They have 19 sacks this year. It's fourth in the NFL. What do you think is the biggest thing that's attributing to them having so much success on the pass rush front?
The corners, the play of the coverage. I mean, the fact that they're able to, they're very sticky in coverage. And it was actually mind-boggling when I was doing the article talking about the cornerback trio. Riley Moss is forcing tight window throws 33.8% of the time. Patrick Surtain, 40% of the time. Outrageous numbers, outrageous percentage when you look compared to other corners in the NFL. Jaquan McMillan is right at 20%. So they're sticky in coverage. They're not allowing a lot of separation. It's 2.4 yards of average separation for Surtain and 2.2 for Riley Moss. I know that may seem weird, but Moss is lower than Patrick Surtain in that. Jaquan McMillan is 3.4, but he, by the time the ball gets there, and with the way they use them in coverage. But anyways, them being able to do what they're doing in coverage is allowing Vance Joseph the freedom to bring more guys as blitzers. He can crowd the line a little bit more and make things more confusing for the opposing quarterbacks to make the read. And then you can drop guys based off of that, and you're still able to get pressures because guys are winning their one-on-ones. Zach Allen has been almost unblockable in one-on-one situations. Jonathan Cooper has gotten his. And Nick Benito, a lot of his stuff is still coming off of basically being unblocked. But He had a couple wins last week where he beat Colton Miller for a pressure. So even he's winning those one-on-ones. John Franklin Myers. So when you're able to blitz, when you're able to win one-on-ones, and you can do all of that because what your guys in coverage and how sticky they are, it just meshes so well together. And I mean, if you don't have Patrick Surtain, who's literally taking away half the field with the top receiver of the opposing team, you just can't do this. So a lot of the defensive success has to be attributed to Patrick Surtain.
Definitely. It must be nice to be one of those safeties too. To know, that your cornerbacks, the window is so small that you don't have as much pressure on you. Even when they're playing underneath, they have that closing speed and that range and that length to break up those passes. What was another thing it had? I looked it up and it was like the last 12 of 15 matchups between us and the Chargers, it's been a one score game. Mm-hmm. And that's like something that's where you can tell if you're a playoff team or not, is when you win those one score games, who's going to fold, who's going to find a way to win, even if there's it starts off with a penalty in your fourth quarter drive with a hold or something like that, who finds a way to get 10 of those yards back and put themselves in a manageable third down to continue that drive. It'll be nice to see if I'd like to see Bo Nix do a game winning drive against these guys. And when it's you maybe need a field goal, but you get the touchdown, not just playing it safe, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, as you said, when you go into these situations and you look at the history of it, I mean, you got to win these one score games. I mean, that's a big thing. If you're a playoff team, you win those ones. If you're not, you don't, obviously. But with the Broncos and the Chargers, especially, I mean, I think that this, you have to attribute part of that to, is it's a divisional game. Divisional games are always tough. There's always that little bit extra toughness to it. And then this week, we have Pro 16K coming in talking about my pick. I picked the Broncos to win in a blowout, 33-12. Just because I don't fully I really believe that this Chargers defense is on fraud alert. We have a super chat here that I'll get to in just 1 second because it ties into this. But it doesn't bode well for the Broncos this week because they play on Thursday night, and historically teams who play on Thursday night underperform the Sunday prior. So that goes against my bold prediction, or my score prediction, and a lot of my bold predictions that I have when that article comes out. So I think that could help keep this be a little bit closer than what I predicted to be. I still think that the Broncos should be able to walk away with this one. They're riding a high, extremely confident. As long as they are not overlooking them, focus on the Thursday night game, on Sean Payne's return to New Orleans, I think that they can walk out with this one. Now, Sholo Man comes in with a $4.99 donation. Appreciate that, Sholo. He says, thoughts on Jesse Minter as the Chargers defensive coordinator. Kelsey and Patrick talked about how confusing his defense was disguising the blitz. I mean, you just got to look at the mold. He's the same kind of mold as Mike McDonald with the Seattle Seahawks coach. Their defense is based off of disguising who's coming, disguising who's dropping, creating that confusion prior to the snap that Bo Nix has struggled with. We have seen some progress there, and the Chargers, with a couple of these injuries and a couple of these guys who may still play that are still banged up, they may be a little bit more limited with being able to be as disguising as we have. We are seeing that with the Seattle Seahawks over the last few weeks. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. They can't be as disguising as they normally can, because when you lose those guys, when you're having subs come in, backups come in, it can lead to more confusion on the defensive side of the ball. It can lead to guys being late, getting into their rotation, getting into their zone, whatever the case may be. And one difference too here is Chargers don't play as tight of a zone as the Seahawks do. So I think that that will help Bo Nix a little bit, as we may not see them be able to go fully into that because, you know, Joey Bosa is hurt, Derwin James is banged up, Denzel Perryman, I believe, is banged up, Josiah Taylor, Asante Samuel Jr. is out, Christian Fulton is banged up. So all these injuries on this, they might be a little bit more stagnant. I'm not going to say stagnant 100% of the time, but instead of being super disguised, being super disguised on 70%, 75% of the plays, it might only be 30 or 40%, and that can play into the Broncos' favor.
Just because, like, the newer players just don't have the comfort level with switching out.
May not have the
frequently and that fast, I guess.
They may not have that comfort level. They may not have that, you know, that full understanding of their role in it. And it may also be a situation of the coaches not having full trust in them. So it just can be a combination of things.
I can see that resulting in like blown coverages when, you know, you end up going covering the wrong area. You're supposed to go deep, whatever, or cover the middle of the field, and you don't.
And Sholo, man, Derwin James is healthy. He missed practice because he just had a kid. Yes, he missed practice this week because he had a kid, but it was reported that he was dealing with a calf injury last week, I think, or the week before. Can't remember which, that put his status in doubt. But he's not on the injury report for the calf injury, but that doesn't mean he's healthy.
Yeah, I believe that guy's really good. He was always that one guy that they compared, saying that who was better, him or Justin Simmons. Of course, we always said Justin Simmons, but Derwin James was always hurt. That was like the one thing about his. You can never give him a fair grade.
Yeah, it's always tough. And Derwin James, and when you get into comparing like Derwin James and Justin Simmons, you also have to factor in the fact that they are two very different style players.
Yeah,
which just makes it a little bit harder to compare the two.
It reminds me of did you see the Derwin James when he smashed was it Kelsey when he picked him up and slammed him on his back?
Yeah.
Simmons would be like a breakup guy. I don't know. He doesn't seem like that like fierce, I guess, but you never know. What are some other things you're like thinking about looking at in the game? Some interesting things that you were looking for.
Special teams. The Chargers special teams is surprisingly not as good. I think the defense is, I mean, I've talked about the defense being on fraud alert. Had somebody come in and talk about what they did against the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs offense has been struggling. They've been having a lot of issues on their own. And the Chargers were just middle of the pack against them defensively. So I don't think that they went out and had a great game against the Chiefs. I think they did well. And they did it without Joey Bosa. Yeah. But they I don't know what the right word is here. They didn't disguise things a whole lot. And when talk about missing Joey Bosa, their backup, Tui Peloto, I think is how you say his name. I might be mistaken on that. He stepped up and he had a pretty big game as well to help cover up for Joey Bosa. And they got a lot of pressure on it. But again, when you look at the Chiefs offense, they're struggling a lot. And a big reason why they're struggling is they're not getting it done at offensive tackle. So it's always this thing of you can go back and forth for it, but the Chargers defense is, it's all right.
Was that backup you're talking about? Was that the guy, the rookie from UCLA?
USC.
Okay.
He's not a rookie. This is his second or third year out of USC.
All right. I'm thinking of a different person, and we were like looking at in the draft. He was like an edge rusher.
Leatu Latu?
Yeah, I think that's
what he's with the Colts.
Okay. All right. So yeah, the kicker versus kicker matchup. Who is the Chargers kicker? I know Lutz, whatever, but Lutz McKinley. I can look that up actually.
I just had it too because there was something because I wanted to do an article on it, but I didn't get told no. Cameron Dicker. Sholo, man. I'm not going to put it on there, but yeah, you're right. No, Dicker the kicker. Yes, Dicker is the kicker for the Chargers, and that is.
Is he? Has he got range on him, or? Can he kick a 50, like a 58 yarder, or is he newer?
I think he's got some decent range on him, but I noticed that he has a weird hitch in his setup that might that can cause like a split second later of a kick than what we see with most kickers, which opens up the door for a potential blocked kick a little bit more.
Okay. Good thing he wasn't kicking in New York with that was brutal.
Yeah.
We kind of just backed into that win. So I don't know what the history of do you have any favorite Chargers games in history? I only one I could think back to is that Peyton Manning down by 24. It pops up on YouTube all the time. I highly suggest checking it out. We come back from 24 down to win that game.
Yeah.
Hopefully this can be a start of another great quarterback duo, because back then it was with Philip Rivers and Peyton Manning. This one would be Herbert and Knicks. I want to see a good game. Of course, I want to see us win, but I want to see an entertaining game. And I want us to improve on some of the spots where we're still continuing to struggle, which essentially is like slow starts. So, like, what do you see out of this team? Like, what if the Chargers, for some reason, get off onto a hot start, like a 2-touchdown start? Does Denver have a team that can claw back into a game like that?
Not without help from the defense or special teams. I don't think this is going to get me flamed quite a bit. The Broncos offense did not have a good game against the Raiders. They struggled a lot. They did manage to put, you know, some plays together and score some points. But overall, it was a bad game. And fortunately, things kicked off with that Patrick Surtain pick six. And I think without that, Denver loses this game. I mean, if Gardner Minshew saw the tight end underneath, dumped the ball to him, and he scores a touchdown like he 99% would have, likely would have, I think that is a hole that the Broncos could not come out of. I think that they as a young team, they ride a lot with, you know, confidence and momentum. And we kind of saw that against the Seahawks, you know, once they got in that second half and they allowed those couple big plays, momentum was just completely in the Seahawks' favor and the Broncos just couldn't recover from it. Same thing with the Steelers game. They've managed to, you know, get the momentum in other ways, that Patrick Surtain interception, other turnovers. So without that help, I don't think that they can overcome a 10-point at least deficit.
Yeah, I noticed that too. The beginning of that game was rough to watch. It was pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Well, it was three straight drives where they didn't do anything. Gardner Minshew, the defense was playing okay. They were playing well, but they had those kind of blown plays on those third down where Minshew would run for 15 or 20 yards. And then they scored relatively easy initially. And it was it was kind of bleak because you look at the offense and you don't see a team that puts up 28 to 35 points a game. You see a team that's possession by possession. So that was pretty rough until that interception. So that's like some stuff they can work on. Definitely.
And one thing I want to see from this team is I want to see them focused on this game. I mentioned it earlier, you know, talking about the Thursday night football game, talking about the history here of teams struggling the Sunday before. It's part of the reason why Vegas opened up in heavy favorites for the Chargers. I want to see them focus on this game. I don't want to see them get lost in the fact that, oh, we have Thursday night coming up. We have a short week, and there's going to be a lot on this game. I mean, Sean Payton's return to New Orleans, the football town he basically rebuilt with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
There is so much on that game that I hope that the Broncos can show a maturity beyond their age, so to speak, with, you know, being such a young roster, of being focused on this game, because we see it time and time again. Even veteran rosters have issues focusing on some games and they overlook it and then they lose. We see it every year, multiple times a year. The Broncos aren't in a position to do that. They need to focus on this game, and that is something that I really want to see. If they go out there and they lay a goose egg early, I think that they're going to, going back to that kind of point, I think they're really going to shut off and just shift focus completely to Thursday night and try to win that one for Sean Payton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's rough that we got to play. And I guess it's, at least it's an emotional game, I guess, kind of, to kind of get us through it, to win one for the coach. But yeah, you got, it's one game at a time. It's a division game. Even though we've had a lot of success against the Chargers relative compared to the other teams in our division, it's a game that can't be taken lightly, and it's a game that you got to put your foot on Justin Herbert's throat and not take it off. Just continuously have that guy running for his life and never get comfortable. So, do you have
Go ahead.
I would say, did you have a score prediction? But I was
later, actually, it was 33-12. But if they don't score that way, I'm going to use the excuse I was under the influence of cold medicine. That will be my excuse. I'm saying it now.
It's pretty much the same as Ernie's. Ernie's got 30-10.
Yeah, it's I just watching the Chargers the past couple days. Well, more so Tuesday, Wednesday. They look good on paper, and it's one of those things you hear it all the time. Stats are misleading, and they are to an extent. But being boosted as much as they are by Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers is just mind-boggling. Their game against the Carolina Panthers was the second best, it was the best offensive performance or defensive performance. Or worst offensive passing performance, however way you want to put it, in the game so far this year and last year. Like, I went back and looked at all of it for last year. It was that bad of a game. Even worse than the Broncos Jets game this year, which was the second worst, but still. And then when you get into the rushing side of it, their game against the Raiders was the third worst rushing performance by an offense this year. So they did well against that. And then everything else, they are middle of the pack to the bottom 12. So I just think that they're not a good team. And I think that the Broncos, even though they have their issues offensively, and the Chargers at least have shown that they can do well against bad quarterbacks or bad offenses, the Broncos will find a way to get it done, because I think their defense absolutely clears. And I think the Chargers offensive issues play directly into the Broncos strengths. And the strengths of the Chargers offense also play directly into the Broncos strengths. So, and going on to that, Phil McLaughlin coming in. Guys, just curious, why do you think Herbert isn't throwing more? I always thought he had a great arm. He's not throwing deep. Part of it is because they are struggling to keep him protected. But throwing more, they're throwing at the 12th highest rate in the NFL right now. They've had 131 passing plays. Granted, they also have had their bye week already, but basically 57.5% of their plays have been passing. So they're doing it. It's just that they're not getting much for it. They have the 10th lowest yards per pass at 5.8, and most of that is carried because of what they're doing on under 10 air yards. And so it's just,
Do you think it was good for them to move on from an Austin Ekeler then?
Yeah, I think Austin Ekeler was done for.
Okay.
Sorry. I accidentally clicked on defense for that. I apologize. I was looking at that to correct my mistake here. Phil, you're right. They're not passing the offense a little bit. Passing the offense, they've had 102 passing plays, 47%. That's the second lowest. And I think part of the reason for that, I guess, now that I've been, my bad on that. I would say that watching them, I think that Justin Herbert's ankle issue was playing into why they're not passing as much. Again, I apologize. That's my fault for not double checking that I had the right stats up.
It's like not being able to drive off that leg, whatever.
Not being able to drive off of it. And that's leading to, just them not wanting to pass. He's hurt. They don't want to expose him. they're not doing well protecting him. So they just don't want to expose him to it too much. And just when they do, they want to get the ball out quickly.
What a waste of the first years of a quarterback's career.
Yeah.
Because he was killing it. Only not to ever be in the playoffs ever. I don't know. He should have already blown a playoff game, won an exciting game.
Yeah, I mean,
borderline AFC championship contender, and they didn't do anything.
To be fair to him, a lot of the Chargers' issues over the past few years haven't fallen on him.
Yeah,
but to some degree, they still do. I mean, great quarterbacks managed to overcome, and he just hasn't been able to get over that hump and get his team into the playoffs. And a lot of it has been injuries over the last couple of years too.
Yeah. We'll see how Cortland Sutton plays. He still hasn't had a 100-yard game, if I'm correct on that.
You're correct.
Has anybody had a 100-yard game?
I don't think so.
Rushing or receiving? Jeez.
When did the Chargers make the playoffs?
Did they get into it just recently?
I am totally blanking on this.
I thought they were going to get in, and
the Chargers made the playoffs. Because did they make it the whole thing with, oh, if they tied with the Steelers that one game, they both teams could have made it, or tied with the Raiders?
Yeah, I do remember that. What was that? The 27-0 Jags comeback. Damn, they lost to Trevor Lawrence.
I am completely drawing a blank on Justin Herbert making the playoffs.
That's brutal. Everybody, that what happened to the Jags too? Those guys are getting roasted.
They're a poorly coached team. Players underperforming. Just so much going wrong.
All right. So, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on for the game?
For the Chargers game. Not really. Oh, 2022. I totally forgot about that game. Obviously. We made the playoffs in 2022. So not that long ago.
Wow. Well, at least you got to
thank play you, Sholo, for correcting me on that.
But that's brutal. It was 27-0 comeback. Because the biggest one I remember I saw when I was a kid, it was like 32-0 when Buffalo came back against the Oilers at the time. That game was intense. They won 38-35, I think, in overtime. But they were down 32-0 at halftime, and they came back and won. I watched that game all by myself. I was like 10.
It was 27-0 going into the final 4 minutes of the first half. Went into half 27-7.
Wow. Oh, man. You know, a whole bunch of stuff got punched in that locker room. Yeah, we're going to have to kind of cut it a little short today. I do have work. Got a little 12-hour shift going on. But for the only thing I have for the end of the day, besides the announcements we're going to make, they have, of course, Oktoberfest is going on all over the place, so it doesn't really matter where you're at. You got to go. There's Oktoberfest going on. I know, I think it's in Aurora. It's more of a kid version. It's like a Choctoberfest. So tomorrow they're going to do some like chocolate kind of situation, a bunch of different chocolate candies and whatnot. And you do have to get tickets, but they're only like, I think they're like $10. And the cheapest one is like $6 if you go to the last little thing, but it's pretty neat to go with your family. But besides that, yeah, that's all I really got going on this weekend is, I got another episode tomorrow with Mr. Ron White. It is Ron White, isn't it?
Yep.
Isn't there a comedian named Ron White too? I just noticed that as I was saying that. But I don't know. Do you got anything going on this weekend?
Resting and trying to get better, as this next week's going to be a grind. As much as I loved, talking football on Friday for a little bit about two games, the short turnaround with, you know, my post game stuff and then pregame stuff.
Oh, wow. He just went out. It's, even his computer has a virus. We'll see if he comes back. Let's see. Great show tonight, Eric and Kenneth, on the Depth Valley Deep Divers. Go, Bo Broncos. Thank you, Michael. Always love talking to you guys in here. And I always love the shout outs on X/Twitter. It looks like Eric is not coming back. So I guess we're going to call it a day for the show today. So I got the close out right here. All right. So that was another fun episode of the Dove Valley Deep Divers. If you're not doing so, please give us a follow on Twitter or X at the MHH pod. Our Twitter or X at our main account, the at Mile High Huddle. You can also follow Eric at Eric Trickle or me at Kenneth_MHH. If you guys want to get some merch or some swag, you can head over to MHHmerch.com. Get your swag on. They got a bunch of cool stuff. T-shirts, hats, coffee mugs. Rep your MHH at your work when you're around the coffee machine and just talking about the Broncos. And if you haven't done so, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a 5-star review to get a chance to win some merch each and every month. And for some reason you can't help us out financially, it's totally fine. I used to be in that boat because I also came on here through the chats. And what I always like to do is I subscribed, of course. I liked and I shared the videos with all my Bronco friends and just to grow our MHH family throughout the internet, because we're all over the country. We're not just in one state. I noticed that when I was giving out tips for everybody to things to do on the weekend, a lot of you guys weren't from Colorado, which was really awesome. A couple of you guys from Arizona, overseas, Alaska, like Eric. So it's really neat to be a part of this whole program, and I really enjoy being there with you guys. That's going to be our show today, though. But did you have anything else you wanted to say there, Eric?
Yeah, I was, sorry about that. My internet kicked off for a split second and then came right back on.
I freaked out, man.
So it caught me off guard. I'm sitting here in the middle of talking and I look and blink and, oh, you have been disconnected from the internet. And then it reloaded and I was back in after a few seconds. But anyways.
Oh, okay.
I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Hope you guys stay safe. It's a great show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And Sholo Man coming in talking about that game, and it had they fired Staley, Sean Payton would have been the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers after that game. It was what was expected, and they stuck with Staley. You saying that just made everything just click back in my head.
About it. The would have, could have situations. I love that stuff.
And so it's worked out in our favor, I would say. I mean, well, I guess time will still tell. I can't believe that I completely forgot about that in the whole situation. Again, I'm going to blame the cold medicine for that. Cold medicine's getting blamed for everything. Even my internet going out. Cold medicine.
Awesome.
But hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Hope you guys stay safe. And yeah, don't drink and drive.
Yeah. Go Broncos.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
This is the story of the one.
As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.